Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Every once in a while, you come across a novel that grabs you on the very first page. And you know what? We're going to talk about one of those rare books today, right now, as a matter of fact. With us to talk about his debut novel is Andrew Graff. He grew up fishing, hiking, and hunting in Wisconsin's North Woods. He's a graduate of Lawrence University. And the name of his book is Raft of Stars. You may have read it, maybe not. It hasn't been out a long, long time here. But I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments as we move along today. We talk about the book. We can talk about the writing process with him. And the book, on the cover page, it says, "When two boys think they've committed a crime, they flee to the woods. Will the adults trying to find them reach them before it's too late?" And it's a wonderful. Andrew Graff, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, man. I tell you what, you haven't... Has there anybody that hasn't given you a glowing review of your book? When did you realize you had something special written here?
Yeah, it's been out. Well, thank you so much. I mean, it's been out for about a week now. And I think that on release day, March 23rd, that's when the New York Times book review came in. And I didn't know that was coming. And I read it in my kitchen alone, and that particular review just made me cry. it was so affirming, and I was so thankful for it. And it's been wonderful to hear back from readers and booksellers, and it's been just a really beautiful whirlwind. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I bet not. I know Jill Nadeau and I were talking just before the show about it, and talking about how we both loved it. It's so full of so many things that make a novel great. How long have you been working on it? Long time, or?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for saying that. This particular book, I worked on it for about 5 years. I began writing it in the winter of 2014, 2015. My wife and I and our first child were living on the banks of the Peshtigo River, up in Peshtigo, Wisconsin. And that's when I first wrote these boys down onto the page. And I worked on it for about 5 years, and it was picked up in 2019.
I'm wondering, Harper Collins, that's a pretty big name in the book business. Did you submit to many publishers?
Well, I got an agent and they did all the submitting for me, which was great. I had a wonderful agent who worked on the manuscript with me for a few months to try to get it into as strong a shape as possible. And then she sent it off, and I was actually visiting family at a rented lake house in central Wisconsin on the day that they told me they were going to send this off to editors. And I, after having spent so much time with these characters and having fallen in love with them so much, I really felt like I was sending off actual family members, to New York City. I envisioned them in canoes just paddling out of the lake, and I wished them well.
Man.
But they landed in a great way. It's with Echo Books, with HarperCollins, and I couldn't be happier about that. And the whole lead up to publication has just been so positive. I've been so thankful for it.
Well, maybe... I just gave, one sentence on the story. Tell our listeners a bit about the story.
Yeah. At its heart, I think Raft of Stars is a wilderness adventure story. And at the core of the story, there are two young protagonists nicknamed Bread and Fish, two 10-year-old boys. One of the boys has an abusive father, and the other, very early on, this is chapter one territory, takes things into his own hands. A gunshot rings out, and both boys are forced to flee into the wilderness of fictional Marigami County in the North Woods of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. There are two other adult cast of characters also pursuing the boys downriver on horseback and on canoe and through the forest. The first is comprised of one of the boys' grandfathers, Teddy, who's kind of a woods-wise Korean War vet. And he's accompanied by Sheriff Cal, the interim county sheriff, who's a transplant to the Northwoods. And he's kind of doing a really poor job of being out in that forest. And then the other group of characters that pursues the boys consists of some really strong female characters. One is one of the boys' mothers, who's probably one of my favorite characters. She has this very, very fierce sort of faith, and her pursuit of her son begins to border on recklessness as the story goes on, and who can blame her? And she's accompanied by the local gas station attendant from the fictional town of Claypot, who is an aspiring poet, and she has purple hair, and she's in the canoe with the boy's mother. So as these three casts of characters, and you know, the point of view shifts throughout as you read it, all go down river together in one way or another to the river's end. To me, I think one of the questions they're all asking and trying to answer in their own way is, am I going to make it? You know, am I going to be okay in this relationship, in this canoe, in this community or cosmos? And ultimately, I hope Raft of Stars is a book that tries to answer that, you know, and take care of the reader as it does.
Yeah, I think it will. I was thinking about my own experience. I spent a lot of time in northern Wisconsin in the Shawamigan National Forest.
Nice.
A lot of time there. So, you know, I was wondering what specific area you were thinking about when you wrote the book. There are, you know, some of the rivers and places within and around the Shawamigan National Forest where it felt a lot like those areas.
Yeah. I grew up in Niagara, Wisconsin, on the northern border, sort of by Iron Mountain, Michigan, right on the Menominee River. And right in that place is one of the largest whitewater sections in the Midwest, the Piers Gorge section of the Menominee River. So that was very much in my mind. I mean, I spent we grew up on a farm on the end of a dead end road. I had two brothers and a husky and plenty of firecrackers. And we would, we would spend a lot of time at that river. So I was thinking about that space in terms of the whitewater scenes, in terms of the pine forests. But I also grabbed some inspiration from further south, like Outagamie County. I spent a lot of time living in Appleton, Wisconsin. And to the east of Appleton, there's a lot of marsh and marshlands and, you know, those roads dipping down to fields and marshes. So some of the early scenes in the book of the boys, you know, rescuing turtles from farm fields and living amidst marshes, I was definitely pulling from Outagamie County. And then as they got onto the river and further toward Ironsford's Gorge with the cattails and that beautiful tea-stained water, you know, all the tannins and the rivers up there, they're just these beautiful, beautiful giant cups of pine tree tea. I was definitely borrowing from the Menominee River and the Peshtigo. And I would say all the way up to sort of the Porcupine Mountains in the UP, you know, as a kind of an amalgam of those spaces.
And not all really necessarily a forgetting landscape. And I was thinking about how you used the landscape to develop each of the characters' personalities.
Yeah. I really loved writing about the landscape. You know, I love the Northwoods. Like a big part of this book for me was just writing a love letter to the Northwoods of Wisconsin. it's home, and it was so enjoyable to just for years sort of close my eyes and write my way along a riverbank again. And I think the wilderness interacted very quickly with the characters in the sense that, you know, all these characters are lost in the woods eventually, both literally and figuratively, they're lost in the forest. And I think the wilderness, or at least a really big woods or a powerful river, has a way of helping us shed our egos. You know, we've become very vulnerable very quickly. And I think all of the different characters in this story had to shed something as they went downriver in order to sort of show up with their best selves by the story's end. So the wilderness, the threat of the wilderness, and also the providence, the provision of the wilderness, I think helped these characters transform in ways that they came out better rather than worse at the end of this adventure.
Oh, man, I certainly agree with that. Andrew Graf has written a heck of a book. It's called Raft. The title is Raft of Stars. And he's going to sell a million copies of it, I hope. And he's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. So we'll look forward to hearing from you as we move along. Questions for him or maybe your own experiences in the North Woods. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org. We're going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Andrew Graf. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you spending some time with us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Talking today with Wisconsin native Andrew Graf about his debut novel, Raft of Stars. It takes place in the North Woods of our state. And we'd love to have you be part of the conversation. Do you like reading books that are kind of set in familiar locations? What questions do you have for Andrew? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Or you could email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org. Andrew, Raft of Stars, I've seen it described as a coming-of-age story. Do you agree with that description?
I think it's that in some sense for all of the characters. The adult characters in the story, too, seem to shed something and then come of age or mature as it goes along. So I think the story, you know, I set out to write, or I was hoping to write a family book, you know, something that both teens and adults could get into. So, yeah, it is a coming of age story of the whole community involved in this story.
You know, I was thinking about the two characters, Fish and Bread. And when I was a kid, Roger was my best buddy, and we would go fishing together, and we would take a blanket some summer evening and climb to the top of the big hill next to his farm and just stay overnight, sleep overnight under the stars. So we did we had a really good friendship. Did you have one like it when you were growing up, when you were young?
Yes, absolutely. And it sounds a lot like yours. We spent a lot of time jumping our Huffy bikes. On Instagram, I posted a recent photo of the hay bale ramps that we would build and take turns jumping over each other. And we'd light off firecrackers in silos, and we would spend a lot of time down at the river. You know, one of our mothers would drop us off with some food and enough water, and we'd have our fishing poles, and we'd spend the whole day there. There were actually three of us. We actually called ourselves the Fishing Buddy Three. We spent many, many hours and days on the river. It was fantastic. So, while writing, the characters in Raft of Stars, I very often leaned on my memory of, well, what was it like to be 10 and triumph and argue and reconcile and hope? I enjoyed spending time with those young guys.
And you did a really nice job of it. It was because it was reminding me of my own experiences back in the day when I was a kid of that age. I could relate to it well, very well. Tell me about how you selected the boys' nicknames.
Yeah, Bread and Fish. I think it resonates with me in two different ways. The first is there are slight supernatural aspects in the story. You know, the way that the wilderness shows up and provides at different points in a nearly miraculous way. So the echoes there for me are with, you know, the old story of Christ feeding the 5,000 with loaves and fish. But more than that, also, I just wanted to write a sort of elemental novel, or atmospheric might be another word for it, where the reader can experience the river. I wanted it to be all gravel and coyote howls and the smell of ditch clover and cedar trees. And there seems something elemental and basic and simple also about those nicknames, bread and fish, the most simple of meals.
Yeah, the most simple. You've created six really strong main characters. I really got to enjoy getting to know them, and you do such a wonderful job. And six, that's a lot for a novel, it seems to me anyway. And I'm wondering why, I mean, I can see in retrospect, but as you were starting, why was it important to have so many? Or did they, some were some added along the way that you weren't expecting?
I think they, pretty quickly, they sort of, the six of them volunteered themselves. You know, it became apparent that they'd be necessary. The boys ran away, and the boy lived with his grandfather, so I knew the grandfather and a sheriff would be involved. And then once I realized that there was a son lost in the forest, I knew somewhere there was going to be a mother, and no storm or whitewater river or black forest was going to keep her away from him. So Miranda came to be, and she needed a paddling partner. So, you know, there came Tiffany from the local gas station. So
and I liked her
to get
too.
To know them. I like her too a lot. She's kind of bucky. She's got a fun spirit. And it was fun to watch what she learned along the way.
Yeah. And another character in the story is Fish's dad, a soldier. And you served in Afghanistan, if I'm not mistaken. I assume that helped inform your storyline or came about because of your experiences there?
Yeah, I think it did. I was in Kandahar, Afghanistan with the United States Air Force in the early 2000s. And I was a young guy then. I was 19, 20 years old. I wasn't married. I didn't have family. But other older sergeants and officers did. So I would watch them, you know, go have these brainy satellite calls once every week or 2 weeks with their family members back home. And I was able to see the real toll that took to be separated, to be that far away. And I think experiencing that helped me write Fish's father into the story and the toll that it took on their family for him to be continually deployed for longer and longer periods of time.
Yeah. And somebody asked me, where did the phrase Raft of Stars come from? That's the title of your book. And any thought on that? Or was it some of the publicist?
It was one of the last ingredients that we wove in, frankly. You know, for the longest time, for years, I just had the name Bread and Fish for the book. But when I started working with editors and agents and publicists who are have a better eye for these sorts of things, we worked together. And that was actually really fun because we spent several weeks sort of bumping ideas together thematically. Okay, there's rafts, there are bears, there are stars, bear stars, rafts. And finally we landed on this and everyone kind of said unanimously, yeah, that sounds really good. So I'm really happy that happened.
Well, it was, you know, and after reading the book, when I first saw the title, I hadn't read anything, you know, and I'm Raft of Stars. That's kind of interesting. But then when I finished reading the book, I thought, man, that's a great title for this book.
Right on.
So
thank you.
I think you hit on it. Carolyn Appleton emailed in. She says, when you hear about two boys fleeing on a raft, Mark Twain springs to mind. Is this a coincidence, or is there some parallel that you, as an author, were drawing from?
They definitely came to my mind as well. I don't know how they couldn't, right? You've got boys out on a cedar raft pulling down the river. And I think the parallels for me are that, you know, when Huck Finn gets out in the river, there are a host of new things to fear, and there are also a host of brand new possibilities and opportunities. And I think these boys, Brett and Fish, sort of realize the same thing. They're vulnerable in a new way. They're hungry in a new way. They're threatened by storms and nature in new ways. But there are also those scenes where new possibility opens up, right? They're doing cannonballs into the river, and they realize we don't have to do homework anymore, and maybe never again. So they call that their beaver freedom. They're trying to harness the freedom of the beaver as their spirit animal for a while. So it was fun to watch them navigate that, the very real threats of being that exposed, but the very real possibilities of freedom. And as Fish said, maybe there's a way to never be afraid again in this life.
Yeah. I know the book's been compared to a number of other novels, and the two that come to mind are Stand By Me and Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. How do you feel about those comparisons?
I'm really happy about those comparisons. Yeah, Stand By Me is one of the best films of my youth. I absolutely loved watching that, and I can see the similarities. And I just read Where the Crawdads Sing this year. I guess I'm a little bit late on that bandwagon, but when I finished it, I thought there is a reason that over 10 million people have read this story, because it's great storytelling. You know, very elemental. You're out there in the stars and the seascape, and it also has a very deliberate plot to it. You know, it starts strong and draws you in. So I love that comparison, and I welcome it.
Yeah, you should, and it's an apt comparison for sure. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking, man, I hope he sells something. You sell something close. To, it would be hard to do that. I mean, the New York, she keeps popping up even now in the top 10 list from not this last week, but just a couple of weeks ago. Here she was.
Yeah.
How many years later? Yeah. Still in the top 10.
Well, that's well deserved, you know. For me, for now, I'm just happy to be anywhere on the field with a book out at all. Yeah.
Oh, well, what about this whole process of writing? I did want to ask you about that too. What's the best way to write? Is it just as important to read as it is to sit down and write? Maybe, I don't know.
I think that's spot on. Absolutely. Just absorbing as much storytelling as you can, particularly the type of storytelling that you want to write. You know, I heard someone say once, like, don't pick up William Faulkner and try to write like William Faulkner, because you'll just wreck yourself as a new writer. And I think that makes good, that's sound advice, you know? But otherwise, I just think and this is something I learned at Lawrence University during my time there as an English major, it's just about dailiness. Like, that's the way to get it done, you know? It's kind of like, in a way, laundry, maybe happier laundry, right? But sitting in the chair for years and writing something the best you can, and you read it and say, oh, that's not very good yet, and you rewrite it, and eventually you get somewhere good, and particularly with the help of other people. That was a really great experience for me, was finally you know, having some agents and editors invested in the book. And I thought, oh, wow, this is such wonderful help, you know? I worked on that sentence for 4 years and thought it was done. And then I realized, no, how can that sentence still be that bad? So that was So I really am thankful for the last, you know, half year of that process was really great.
You know, it's interesting. You know, people will read a book like yours that is so well written, and it seems so, I don't know, not off the top of your head, but it seems so just natural. And so, well, this was probably pretty easy for him to write or for her to write. But those sentences, sometimes you say you might have a sentence 4 years and then decide to, no, I don't like this sentence.
Yes.
Michael Perry is a friend, and you may have read some of his books.
I love his books.
I do too. Read every one of them. But he would, you know, he would talk about spending a lot of time just on a word sometimes.
Yeah.
Getting the right one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Michael Perry who compared the writing life to cleaning out cow pens. He was like, You just keep shoveling, and eventually you will have a nice pile of something, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that seems apt sometimes. But I think he's of course, he's right. The ability to just spend months, weeks, years with a paragraph in hopes of it having that sort of spontaneous, easy feel is the real work of drafting stories.
Yeah, it is. Leslie from Cottage Grove called and wondered when she could hear the book on Chapter a Day.
That would be very fun.
I tell you what, that's another story that Michael Perry tells about when Population 485 came out. He got a call from his publicist, and they said, "You really want to do this? There's the public radio in Wisconsin," and of course his publicist was out in New York. They want to read your book on Chapter a Day. I don't know. Do you think that's worth it? Michael said, "You get right back on the phone and call."
That's right.
And call.
Yeah, that's a Wisconsin institution, right? I listen to that a lot. I have a brother who listens to it a lot. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and we have some great readers, so that's for sure. It's pretty funny. What was I going to say here? Oh, I know what I was going to say. One of the things that I ran through my mind, and Jill and I were talking about this too, and saying, man, would this be a great movie? I know that this takes a lot of time, but I'm hoping you're getting some nibble, or you may get some nibbles from Hollywood.
I'm hoping too. Man, that would be too much fun. So, I definitely know that the agents are talking with people and putting it out there and waiting to hear back. But I would, you know, it's my book, so it seems kind of silly of me to say, of course, it would make a great movie, but I would like to watch it on the screen. You know, I wrote the kind of book that I'd like to read, and I think it'd also be the kind of movie I'd love to watch. So.
Yeah, me too. I really hope. And then if it comes to pass, I hope they shoot it right right in northern Wisconsin, where you were imagining the story unfolding, because that would be wonderful as well. You've got an event. I wanted, before we get too far along here, I wanted to mention that you have an event coming up. What is it, April 12th?
Yeah.
Boswell. You'll be, I think it's 8 p.m.?
Yeah, I believe it's April 13th at Boswell's bookstore, and I'll be in conversation with the author, J. Ryan Straddle, author of The Logger Queen of Minnesota. So Registration is completely free, and you can get the link through Boswell's website, and it would be wonderful. Come join and come listen to a conversation and listen to Jay Ryan as well. He's a writer that I really, really admire. So that'll be a fun night.
And that's a virtual book event, so you can do it right from the comforts of your own home.
That's right.
And you said the 13th. I thought it was the 12th. Is it the 13th? April?
You know, I'm going to go with your notes. Let's say it's the 12th, and we could double check. I know on Boswell's, it says it right there. So,
well, and Boswell Book Company, what a great place. Anyway.
Yeah.
With wonderful people there. Have you started... Oh, man. Have you started on another novel yet?
I am at work on another one. Yeah, yeah. And I'm excited for the chance to share it when it gets into, you know, shareable shape. As of right now, I just know when I finished Raft of Stars, I didn't really want to leave the Northwoods yet. So I'm definitely writing back into that space. And I'm working on a sort of a family drama centered around these whitewater rivers and some of the small companies in the Northwoods, and I'm having fun with it. So I've got a ways to go, but I am at work on it.
And I'm assuming you're going to are you on any kind of book tour at all, or what's the?
Yeah, there have been a bunch of wonderful interviews and a bunch of wonderful. Live virtual events. I got to do one with the Wisconsin Book Festival and the author Nicholas Butler. That was really great fun. The upcoming one at Boswell's. And then this fall, I'm going to be a part of the Fox Cities Book Festival in Appleton, Wisconsin, and also visit my alma mater, Lawrence University, to do a reading. And I'm just hoping, you know, COVID progression withstanding, that maybe those could be in person. That would be so much fun.
Oh, and to go back to your alma mater.
Yeah, just a dream, and to see everyone. So I'm hoping that by that time we have a little more flexibility.
Well, you have written a wonderful, wonderful book, and it was such an exciting book to read, and then to get to know these characters. I really was sorry. I'm telling you, I was sorry to see the book end in a way because I thought, I'm going to miss these characters. Flawed, you know, they all had little flaws, I think, but they're wonderful people and the kind of people that you'd like to get to know better. It's been a lot of fun, Andrew. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed your book, Raft of Stars. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Andrew Graf as the author. It's his debut novel. Wonderful reviews from the New York Times and everywhere else, and from here as well. You're going to enjoy reading it. Raft of Stars. Well, thank you for listening, and please do stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.